From Topps comes the all-new digital card collecting app, free to download from iTunes or Google Play, Star Wars Card Trader.
For the first time ever, collect and trade everything from legendary 1977 Star Wars cards to new cards featuring exclusive content from Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
All from the comfort of your mobile devices, Star Wars Card Trader.
These are the cards you're looking for.
Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are, with Dan Z and Corey Club, the podcast you're looking for. This is, yes.
For an entire generation, people have experienced Star Wars the only way it's been possible, on the TV screen. But if you've only seen it this way, you haven't seen it at all.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
We've been waiting for you.
The Force is strong here, even stronger than the coffee.
At last! Where have you been?
Welcome to Coffee with Kenobi. Here are your hosts, Dan Z and Corey Club.
Hi, this is Leland Chi, creative executive at Lucasfilm, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi with Dan Z and Corey Club. This is the podcast you're looking for.
Coffee with Kenobi is honored to have a cup of coffee with the keeper of the holocron himself, Leland Chi. Leland is a creative executive at Lucasfilm and is the definitive expert on all things Star Wars. Leland brings knowledge and passion to the franchise and is a dream guest here for us at Coffee with Kenobi. Welcome, Leland.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Our pleasure. It's nice to have a cup of coffee with you. And obviously, listeners know exactly who you are, but we don't all know sort of where you came from and how you came to be at Lucasfilm. So what first drew you to Star Wars? And as a fan, how does it keep you coming back for more?
So you're saying it would drew me to Star Wars as a fan at the very beginning?
Yes, absolutely, as a fan. We'll just pretend that you don't work at Lucasfilm for now.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I was 6 years old when Star Wars came out, and you know, I saw it was one of the first movies that I remember. And I remember even seeing like the commercial for it. So there was a lot of hype, and I remember walking around driving around the Coronet Theater and seeing the long line. So we knew at the time that it was something big, and then. What really brought me into it was the action figures. The action figures for me was what, I mean, I got the soundtrack and I was very, very much immersed in it and the trading cards and everything else. But it was the action figures, having those action figures to interact with the toys and have them interact with each other and create new stories. That was what brought me in and got me hooked.
Yeah. I think we're about the same age. Before I saw Star Wars, I bought the C-3PO action figure, and I thought he was. And I watched Logan's Run on TV, and I thought that was what C-3PO was. Shows that I wasn't quite aware.
You're talking about the guy in the ice cave.
I think so. Yeah. It's pretty funny. So you're obviously
completely different characters. Completely.
Yes. And the one's much more agile than the other. So you're a fan of many franchises, but you're ensconced in Star Wars in a very unique way, both as a fan and as a professional. So what sets Star Wars fandom apart from others to you?
You mean there's other franchises besides Star Wars and Logan's Run?
There are rumors.
Star Wars, first off, you know, having it come out at that point in time specifically, and me being that age, definitely there was no getting me out of the grip of Star Wars, because it was like I said about the action figures, about everything else. And really, when Empire Strikes Back came out, it just like, you knew that it had longevity, and that it was, you felt like it was always going to be a part of your life. And then when the movies came out, and there seemed to be a dearth of Star Wars. You know, Star Wars had, there was no new movies, and there was no sign of new movies. And so, at the time there was this crisis of faith of like, is there going to be more Star Wars? Is this thing that I used to love, ever going to come back? And when the book started coming back, and it was like a dream, when a dream come true, when the first action figures came back on shelves, because they had disappeared, and they were, you'd go to a Toys R Us and for years and years they would never be new Star Wars action figures, and I always had this recurring dream that I would have that thing where, oh, there were the new action figures that come out, and there's all these figures that I that I'd wanted, as you know, when I was younger, that never came out. And then they started coming out, and you saw Tarkin and you saw Sand Trooper, and it was like, oh my gosh, this thing that I've imagined in my head is coming true. And then it just kept on piling on. Then you got a new, you know, you got episode one, you got the special edition. So it was great to just have it back. So Star Wars is, you know, it is forever. It proved, you know, it came back from the dead, and it came back in a huge way, and to see it now bigger than ever has just been amazing.
Kind of a little Phoenix metaphor we've got going on, really.
Yeah.
And I even liked,
although I don't know what that is, because that's some other franchise or mythology that's not Star Wars.
Phoenix Squadron, of course.
Yeah.
I even liked when they had Luke Skywalker and he looked like He-Man. I was just excited. That was my reward during college, to go to Walmart or Target after class and go grab two or three Luke or action figures each time.
Oh, yeah. I remember when the first Han Solo and Trooper action figure came out, had to buy like Fruit Loops or something. And it was like... I couldn't, I mean, it was like, and he had the removable helmet and everything. It was just, that was just like, oh my gosh, this is going to happen. This is great.
Yeah, that was a dream come true. And Han Solo in the Stormtrooper was also very similar and coveted. So I'm looking over it when I was preparing for this coffee chat we were going to have. I found the StarWars.com article from July 19th of 2012, in which you describe what it's like to have your dream job. As Star Wars is a vocation as well as a passion, how do you manage to walk the line so beautifully and still be a fan?
Walk the line so beautifully. well, thank you for calling it beautiful. Because I know, you know, having been here for a while now, I've been here since 97, working on the games. And so, you know, I've seen the ups and downs. I've seen the toil that goes into making what this is. So even though you might want to call it beautiful on the, when it comes out, being in the trenches, day to day and seeing things, all the works that go behind the scenes is, you know, you have a different perspective of it, because you know, we put our greatest effort in making this stuff perfect, but to get that to get anywhere near that is a lot of hard work. It is, and it takes a lot of commitment and compassion from a lot of people to get it to where it is. So, yeah, thanks for calling it beautiful, but you know, it's a lot of work to get there.
Absolutely. And I know for me personally, as an educator, the first 4 or 5 years of teaching, I never read a book for pleasure, because I taught English and I read so many books throughout the school year. So I finally found myself drifting away from what I was passionate about. And then I found my love for it again. Did that ever happen to you with Star Wars, or have you always been completely focused on it?
Like I said, I've been here since 97, so it's occupied a large part of my adult life, as a kid, I always had this dream that, you know, oh, I want to work for George Lucas. I don't care what I do, I want to work for George Lucas. And so, I never realistically thought that it would happen. So I went to college. I stayed in Northern California, stayed in the Bay Area, because knowing that George was up here. So I always sort of had in my mind, you know what, maybe someday that this could happen. And you know, sending in tons and tons of resumes for you know, you could be, you know, for dishwasher or for security guard or whatever. And finally I found a position low enough in the company that would take me, which was the QA department at LucasArts. And that was my in. And at that time I thought that was it. I had made it.
Oh, isn't that one?
I think I felt like I made it doing my first interview, when I had a Darth Vader standee that was right behind me as I did my written part of the interview.
Oh man, I can just picture it now. So you've obviously, as you've heard, Leland, there's been a transition from the expanded universe to the Legends line, in which everything released is now considered canonical. So how has that evolution affected the holocron?
Yeah, I think I've heard about that.
Yeah. You may have.
As far as the holocron goes, I mean, for the holocron, you know, it's really simple. It's a different field. So all the lore that we had created for the expanded universe, that stays in its own field. And then the canonical material has its new field, and it's not really that different. I mean, it's just another place to store information, and we started building that information, you know, pretty much from the ground up based on what we know from the films and the TV. So getting that in the holocron definitely, you know, it's not as drastic a thing as people might think when it comes to a database, because you know what, the information from Legends is still there. It hasn't been. I didn't go through deleting all that information. It's there that I can go to and go back to, which is what we've always been doing, really.
And I think when people think about you working on the holocron, they picture you sitting in sort of like the Bat Cave with all kinds of monitors everywhere and all kinds of lights going on and things.
I've only got two. You know, when I upgraded from one monitor to two monitors, that was a huge deal, because then all of a sudden I could, you know, read a manuscript while accessing the database on a different screen or watching a episode of an upcoming series and then entering information in the database from that. So I think two is my limit.
That's pretty good. Still not bad having the best job ever. Pretty exciting. And you mentioned upcoming series and television series. So Lego and Star Wars have always been a collaboration beloved by fans of both franchises. And, of course, premiering on June 20th on Disney XD is Lego Star Wars The Freemaker Adventures. What can you tell us about this new chapter in the Star Wars universe?
I'm really excited about what we've been doing, because really I see it as the evolution of Star Wars storytelling. The previous TV specials that we've done that Michael Price was the writer on, when you talk about, you know, Padawan Menace and Yoda Chronicles and Droid Tales, if you start looking at their earliest TV specials, and you go to the later ones, you can see how the sort of temperament or our approach to Lego Star Wars has slowly evolved. So you started off with things that were like, you know, strict parody, you know, we're going for the laughs, very, very topical humor. And then when you get to something like Yoda Chronicles and you get a character like Jack 14, which is an all new character with their own story, it really started to show the potential for telling original stories with Star Wars. We did the Droid Tales series, which was that was sort of an attempt at we're retelling the films from R2-D2 and C-3PO's point of view, and that's just to bring people up to speed, get them ready for Force Awakens, so that they have some of the foundation going into it. But then there was also some original storytelling there, because there was the whole arc with R2-D2 and Lando Calrissian going off, and there was even a villain in the final episode. So that was an original story that we hadn't really been doing before in the previous specials, which were being done, for jokes. And Freemaker Adventures is really the next evolution of that. We've got all new characters. It's set in between episodes 5 and 6. We're in a time and a place that we understand. We go to familiar locations, and then we have appearances by characters that we recognize. So Vader and the Emperor show up, and we'll see some other characters both from the movies and elsewhere. So it's really really the next step, but the focus, of course, is the all new characters. So you've got the Freemaker family, which is really a great something like Disney XD and Lego and Star Wars, where you have the familial bond between these three siblings who are trying to make their way through the universe as scavengers, and then you've also got elements like Roger the battle droid, who is a Clone Wars veteran and voiced by Matt Wood, who also did battle droids in the Clone Wars, which is fantastic. And then you get a chance to bring in these all new characters who come and go, and you've got like a new hot named Grabala, who's this fantastic character, and there's just a lot of interesting side characters, and then you bring in characters that people know, like Dengar. And you can show Gengar in a way that we've never shown him before. So it's really, really great to be able to expand on the storytelling of LEGO Star Wars, to be able to deal with family dynamics and tell a new story.
It sounds somewhat similar, at least in feel as far as the family environment, to Rebels in a way.
Yeah, but this in this case, I mean, these are siblings, you know. This is two brothers and a sister. So a family that comes together, whether it's Rebels or whether it's, you know, the original trilogy, that's one thing. But this is a different type of feeling, because you know what, you don't get to choose your family, your relatives, you know, you don't get to choose your siblings. So these, for better or for worse, these people are stuck with each other, and they have, you know, I mean, their entire history is with each other, and so they've got a bond that probably extends beyond being the crew of a ship.
Well, and just every morning, my three-year-old and I will watch, of course, the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, and then they show the trailers for the Freemaker Adventures. And my son, of course, has not seen any of the films yet. That's coming soon. But Roger is his first experience with Battle Droids, so he walks around saying Roger all the time now, which is great.
You know what? The Clone Wars, in Clone Wars, Battle Droids were so – they were very much – I always see them as the victim of the Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were – programmed to kill, but you know, when you talk, when you hear them speak, you know, there's a certain innocence about them. You know, they are programmed to do this one thing and to follow orders, but they also, you know, by what they say, they are characters that feel and have an understanding that you know, they feel danger, they feel fear, and you know, they have to follow orders. So I very much saw the Battle Droids as victims, and to have a character like Roger, who is a sympathetic character, who has gone through all this stuff. I mean, he's a war veteran. He has seen all his friends die in battle, and they were cut down by the Jedi and by the clone troopers. So he's going to definitely have a different perspective on that. Of course, they had to sort of modify his programming a little, so he's less killer. So he's actually completely different. He's the family's butler droid. So what is he doing? He's baking cookies. He's, you know, mopping the floors of their ship, the Star Scavenger. So, all his devotion to combat that he had during the Clone Wars has been wiped from him, and his sole responsibility is taking care of the Freemakers and Rowan specifically. But he also has a sense of self where he knows he really thinks that he is the last battle droid, and so there is this idea of self preservation for him because he thinks that he's one of a kind. So you've got the two conflicting things, but ultimately he does the right thing, stumbling every once in a while.
Well, you've got to love that. He's very much as the antithesis of Mr. Bones, I would say.
Obviously, yeah. That's a great thing by having being able to tell stories in different platforms. When you do a novel that's targeted for you know, a certain audience versus a TV show, LEGO TV show that's targeted for another audience, you can have these different approaches to these characters that are equally compelling but completely different.
Hey, it's Dan Z
and Corey Club
from Coffee with Kenobi, and we are excited to let you know about the Star Wars Card Trader app from Topps.
Yeah, Dan, you remember those cards that came out in 1977, the good old days? Well, they're back again. Yeah, so it's the Star Wars Card Trader app. It has them all, as well as fantastic images from The Force Awakens, The Clone Wars, Rebels, and much more.
Absolutely. You've got your favorite characters, memorable scenes, you've got key moments. It's all there. You get credits every day for free from the app, which is available from iTunes or Google Play. Open packs from the cantina, trade with your friends, and enjoy these amazing Star Wars memories as you take your first step into a larger world.
There are so many different sets to choose from also, and there's so many great cards to chase. There's special inserts, there's rewards for completing sets and variants. It's everything you love in collecting from a galaxy far, far away.
The Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps.
These are the cards you're looking for.
And that's really the beauty of Star Wars. It reinvents itself for a new generation all the time, and no matter what the medium or the age bracket, there are still wonderful stories to tell. And really, when we're talking about Star Wars and storytelling, the video game portion of the Star Wars universe is pretty exciting. There's a lot going on. There was just a video released the other day about different things that are coming from EA. So what does the video game in general as a platform do for the franchise to you?
The release of the video games, I mean, obviously it's evolving. The different games each have their own objectives. So the first Star Wars Battlefront was very much fulfilling these battle fantasies, going to planets that you knew and recreating in some form familiar battles, whether it is on Endor or on Hoth or Tatooine, or creating new battles on a planet like Sellest. And then we've got, you know, several of our mobile titles, which all appeal to different aspects. There's, you know, you get some storytelling in the Uprising game. If you are a collector of characters, then you've got, you know, Galaxy of Heroes. So each of the different types of games strike at a different, you know, different fantasy or desire for Star Wars fans, whether it's, you know, collecting all the characters or whether it's pure combat. And then, you know, we'll start to see the next evolution. When you see these new stories that are coming from EA, there's real storytelling where we can go into new characters and new events that impact the galaxy that we know it. So it's really exciting, but we've really just started with the games, as you can tell from that EA trailer. Right. There's a lot more storytelling that we want to do.
Wow, it really is. We're a broken record, but it really is a beautiful time to be a Star Wars fan. No question about that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's been amazing and unbelievable. And every time there's been so many times when we thought, you know what, is this it? Is this, you know, because we've seen it go away before. So knowing that it is going to be around for the foreseeable future, and with Disney as the custodians of the brand, it doesn't seem like there's any end.
And so now we've got,
which is a relief, you know, for Star Wars fans like us that you know, we did go through those dark times.
That's right. And even with the dark times, when you would find a scrap of something, it was like finding gold or like finding deserts. Now the water's everywhere. It's ubiquitous. And thank goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there were times where you could, you know, you couldn't get Star Wars stationery. There was not Star Wars stationery in stores. I mean, that's crazy to think of now.
Oh,
you couldn't find
times.
Star Wars party favors. It was the '90s. Where it was a dark time. It was.
And then
bleak.
Timothy Zahn came out, and that really was a nice adrenaline surge.
Oh yeah, yeah. I can remember going to the bookstore and seeing that cover of Heir of the Empire, and it just was like, wow! Oh my gosh! Is this real? Is this, wait? The store actually has Star Wars stuff, and it has a Star Wars story, and it's, you know, We're learning more about the characters that we haven't seen anything about in like 7, 8, 9 years. So yeah, it was great to start seeing that come back. But then we got the movies, and who, you know, we had no idea who had any idea of what would be coming down. You know,
right?
What we have now.
So you've got in a very shortly, we're going to have Celebration in London, and then next year Celebration Orlando. And last year at Anaheim, it was the first year for the podcasting stage, which, of course, is near and dear to my heart. So
I know. That's where we met.
That's exactly right. I've talked about that.
I kept wanting to go to the podcast stage because, you know, I'm a big fan of the podcast, you know, all podcasts, really. And so when I heard that they were doing that, it was just an incredible experience I knew for you guys, and also just, you know, a great way to engage with fans. And so I wanted to try to make it to the stage, and so I sort of like had it was a little slot of time that I had in the day, and your guys' show was the one that was on. It was great.
Yeah, we really appreciate that. I remember you seeing your smiling face out there, and that was kind of like the theme for you. One of the things I love about having you in the Star Wars franchise is you legitimately are having a wonderful time. During the Rogue One conversation that they had at Celebration Anaheim, the way you were just walking around and interacting with people, you clearly are having a ball, and I think you bring us along for the ride, which we appreciate.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, I understand that the job that I have is I am so lucky to have it, and to be able to to share my appreciation for the job, for the fans, anytime that I can get. I mean, and really it comes down to, you know what? I love Star Wars. You love Star Wars. You know, that's what binds us together. And you know, that's the thing that brings joy to our lives is talking about Star Wars, whether, you know, it's in an official capacity or not. Having opportunities like Celebration to do that is just, it's just incredible.
It really is. And it's incredible we're able to have this conversation with you. And before we let you go, we have to ask you our five questions that we ask each guest on Coffee with Kenobi. Are you ready, sir?
All right. Let's do it.
Okay. Favorite Star Wars movie?
Empire Strikes Back.
Not a boy.
I saw that recently. We had an anniversary screening at the company not too long ago, and that movie is all about sacrifice. Mm. All these characters are doing things because they are, you know, Luke is sacrificing on Han and Leia, you know, Han is sacrificing for Leia. It's just back and forth. You have these friends who would do anything for each other, and plus in addition to the you know, amazing special effects and the jaw-dropping moments that are just like one after the other, it's really the sacrifice. That's the thing that I gravitate towards in that movie.
There are so many beautiful things. I've gone to the Empire Strikes Back well so many times for StarWars.com because there's just so much richness in that story. And it seems like it's a bit generational sometimes, I think, because our generation loves it the most, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I have kids myself. And my kids were actually introduced to Star Wars through the Lego Star Wars video game. So they're in for Star Wars, which is much different than mine. And, you know, Star Wars was not their first, you know, A New Hope was not their first Star Wars film experience. That their actual first theatrical experience was seeing Phantom Menace 3D, and we got to see. We had a screening at Skywalker Ranch for that, and it you know, as a parent and seeing the joy of that movie in my kids, it gave me a whole different perspective on that movie. It really did.
You know what? That was the first movie I took the older boys to see, and the first Star Wars movie my wife had seen in theater. And just the way they reacted to that and the synergy and how it all brought everyone together, it was really a tremendous moment, which was, of course, echoed last December by The Force Awakens. So we got to jump into your favorite character.
My favorite character, it changes all the time. Actually, for the longest time, it was Wedge Antilles, but right now, I think my favorite character is Rey, and it comes back to that sacrifice. This is a person that is a good person, is who wants to help anyone, you know, and will stick up for anyone. So she, you know, she sees BB-8, she finds him, she helps him out. She's a little bit reluctant at first to take him in. And then, you know, the next day she's like, she's best friends, and she's willing to go attack someone she doesn't even know, because she believes that this person has wronged BB-8. I mean, it's that instant bond. So, getting to see her, that character, has been amazing. So right now I think it's Rey.
Very good. And of course you're allowed to change your answer at any time in the future.
We'll see what happens in the next movies, and then who knows. But from Force Awakens, Rey right now is it.
Excellent. Your favorite line of dialogue or film moment?
You know, I love it when George would do things where he doesn't take the film seriously. I mean, he will, you know, whether it's for a joke or whether it's, you know, there's this moment in Empire Strikes Back where, you know, Han and Leia are running to the Falcon on Echo Base, and C-3PO is falling, and then the door closes. C-3PO is, you know, looks at the screen, breaks the fourth wall. Star Wars breaks the fourth wall. He looks at this at you, the audience, and says, "Typical." I mean, what movie does that? You know, so it's those type of moments that really, really set Star Wars apart, because it's willing to take chances that other films are not going to take like that.
And it has the gravitas, but it also doesn't take itself so seriously. So you've got a nice harmony there as well.
And it's great that they bring, you know, just like some of the dialogue that they have, that there's the colloquial, you know, don't get cocky, you know, things like that. It sort of grounds it in this world that, you know, in the real world that, you know, even though you're seeing all this fantasy and sci-fi all around you.
Very true. So this will be a fun one. Yeah, they're all fun when we're talking with you, of course. But now that I know you're such an avid collector, I should have figured that by all the Disney Infinity stuff. But so obviously you collect. So what is your favorite collectible?
Okay, well, let's get this term straight. They're not collectibles. To me, they're toys. Okay,
that's
they're for playing with. The action figures are not collectibles. You are supposed to play with them. So or as you're older, maybe you're not playing with them, but you're setting them up or something, sure. And you're opening them. That's what they are to me. You know, when they're in the package, you can't really appreciate them as much as when you can. You know, hold them and put the blaster in their hand, Set them up in the scene. I recently took out my vintage Imperial Attack base, which I think that might be my favorite thing. Of course, I put Rebels in it, so it's a Rebel Trench. You know, I can't really dig up. I grew up in California, so we didn't have actual snow, so I couldn't actually build a trench. And I was a little bit anal about, you know, taking my toys outside and getting them dirty. They did. So in that case, I was a little bit anal about that. But having the Imperial Attack base and putting Rebel troops in there, that was like heaven for me. And so I've amassed enough Hoth Rebel troops to fill up that attack base. So
that's
my favorite, just because trying to recreate that scene. I mean, you're never going to do it. You're never going to have 100 Hoth Rebel troopers and 4 AT-ATs. You're not going to be able to create that. So this is my little bit of trying to get close to that.
I love the.
Although there's a new Lego Battle of Hoth that you know might potentially fulfill those fantasies of creating that battle.
And that Bespin Carbonite new Lego just came out. That's a thing of beauty as well.
Oh yeah. It's so cool to see what things they're gonna do next. It's been a lot of fun.
I love that you mentioned playing outside. Just the other day, my little boy and I, we took Indiana Jones outside, and he played in the rocks, and there was, of course, plenty of boulders for him to run in front of.
Isn't it just amazing that you can appreciate Star Wars with your kids like that?
Oh, it's
to recreate battles. That's like the most amazing thing is when you can, you know, set up all your figures. And then it doesn't have to be Star Wars, but, you know, we do have a lot of Star Wars stuff in our house for, I don't know why we have a lot of Star Wars stuff. We just happen to have it. But being able to recreate these scenes with your kids is fantastic, and Legos also is another way to be able to build, create new ships and things like that. It's so much fun.
It really is a game changer to experience it as a young man, and then to grow up and be a dad and to introduce.
Oh yeah,
there's nothing like it.
I mean, everything in your life sort of changes. So
yes,
so like you watch movies in an entirely different way. I remember the first movie that I took my daughter to see in a theater was Finding Nemo. And that is about a child's bond with their parent. There's one line where Nemo tells his dad, it's like, you know, I hate you. And that was just like, as a new parent, that's like the most devastating thing that you can imagine. You know, as you get older and you have experiences and you I have a second child as well. So your perspective changes a little bit, you know, even going from those stages. But, you know, at the time it was just like that was like the most devastating thing that I could, you know, that I could possibly, you know, hear uttered from my child.
It's so absolutely true. You have to have a whole new way of looking at the world, don't you? So you obviously have broken down Star Wars in so many exciting ways. And our last one for you, Leland, is what particular messages or themes about the Star Wars saga resonate or speak to you?
I think it goes back to what I said before about why I love Empire Strikes Back so much. It's sacrifice. It's friendship. It is doing the right thing. I mean, there's such a optimism about the original trilogy and about A Force Awakens, about, you know, you you've got to help others. And this is very much gets carried in the Freemaker Adventures, because these are people that, you know, they're trying to get about their lives, but you know what? They're forced into this adventure, and they're, because of the people that they are, they do good things, no matter how tough they are. Because which is, you know, the essence of Star Wars, the essence of Jedi is sacrifice and compassion. So it's really those things, you know, because if it helps to make you think of being a better person, that's very powerful.
Absolutely. One of the best things about literature and film, as I always tell my students, is you have to look at things from other people's point of view. And I think that's one of the many powerful things about Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So, Leland, it's been, again, such a wonderful pleasure to speak with you and have a cup of coffee with you. Where can people get in touch with you if they want to ask you a question or just say hello?
Sometimes I'm on Twitter. So Holocron Keeper is my, you know, that's my call sign on Twitter. If I see something, the visual that I want to take a picture of, Instagram, but you know, there's not much stuff. So really, really Twitter, Holocron Keeper.
Very good. And where you can see, Leland and Pablo and Matt now addressing, some of the fun and crazy questions that you get on a daily basis.
Things that we can. I don't do it as much, you know. We used to have the message boards back. Around episode 3, and that's when we were, you know, we'd get super engaged and we'd be able to go into detail in these discussions about, you know, the levels of canon and you know. I would get so many emails about, you know, whatever the topic of the day was, whether it was why Labyrinth of Evil did not match up with the Gendy series, you know, things like that. And there would be huge issues at the time. And then, you know, a few months would go by us, and then it'd be on to the next issue. So I am not at that level of engagement just because, you know, the Twitter doesn't really allow it. And also just it's, a lot of it is just a matter of, you know, having the time to be able to do that. And also, you know, there's things that we want to keep secret that we don't, you know, we might be consciously holding back on. So there's all sorts. And the other, there's one final aspect is you had mentioned that Pablo and Matt are on there. You know, I'm not doing this on my own as I was before, you know, when it was just the Holocron and it was just, you know, having a whole team that's devoted to doing this. I'm no longer as, you know, as comfortable as I was before about saying, you know what, this is it. Because, you know what, you know, I'd like to be able to confer with the rest of the story guys or story folks on certain things. So I'm not necessarily as open as I was before about that type of thing. But, you know, when I can, I do try to answer questions. So it's worth a shot.
Sure. And the ambiguity is one of the things we love about Star Wars. Of course, on our show, we stay away from spoilers like the plague. So we appreciate your
time. That's fantastic. That's the great thing about Force Awakens. That Force Awakens revealed was that before Force Awakens came out, everybody, before we got close to Force Awakens, everyone wanted to know everything they could about Star Wars. And you've seen this complete reversal of people wanting to know everything they could find out about it to people wanting to know nothing about it. And that was a big, big reason for the legends, having the surprise back. Because we, you know, if we had, you know, remade the Thrawn trilogy or remade some of those books, you don't have that surprise. And that surprise has been the greatest thing about being able to do the new films.
The anticipation.
The anticipation and not knowing what's going to happen around the corner and, you know, what's going to happen with all these, you know, not only the characters that we knew from before, but these new characters that we now have come to grow to love. It's exciting. It's exciting.
It really is.
And not wanting to know spoilers. That's a huge turn for many people.
It's certainly been very tricky. I know that about a month and a half before episode 8 comes out, I'm building a bunker and I'm going to get a lot of spam.
It definitely is tricky, but you know,
it can be done.
I think there's also an attitude where people are aware, you know, people have been burned so many times, whether it's from Game of Thrones or Walking Dead, there's a conscious effort to know, you know what? I'm not going to spoil it for, you know, I will have spoilers, but you know what? You spoiler alert, you know?
That's right.
So you know to put up those little deflectors, you know? And the people that have, you know, ruined stuff in the past, well, you know what? You've already blocked them already, or you've already, you know, that's unfriended right. them already.
They're so, banned. That's right.
Because you know what? You know, we've been through that so many times where things were spoiled for us that that we always have these deflectors on. And people are also aware that, you know what? We're going to be sensitive with this information because, you know what, I don't want to make anybody mad. You know, it used to be where you know, like, oh, I know something. I want to shout it from the rooftops to show that I know it. And that's completely changed because, you know what, people, if they want to stay protected from the spoilers, they're going to avoid those people.
Absolutely right. Yeah. This is a community that is very vocal, as you know, and very passionate. So you walk a fine line, but it's well worth it and is well worth the wait to have you on Coffee with Kenobi, Liam. Thank you so much.
Oh yeah. I know we've been trying to get this for a long time. So thank you. Thank you very much for all your patience.
Chewie, get us out of here.
If you would like to respond to our question of the show, have a comment, or just want to say hello, send us an email or MP3 at feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or if you have a specific question or comment for either of us individually, email us at danz@coffeewithkenobi.com or coreyc@coffeewithkenobi.com or visit us at coffeewithkenobi.com and click on the Contact Us section or comment on one of the stories featured on the site. If you enjoy the show, please write a review in iTunes or Stitcher. You can also like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/coffeewithkenobi, as well as keep up to date at our Twitter feed at Coffee with Kenobi. You can also find us on Tumblr at coffeewithkenobi.tumblr.com. If you enjoy the jazz music, the album is Eye to Eye by Steve Torak.
Give the evacuation code signal.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along.
If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps is for you. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for.